The Incredibles from 2004 is a rare treat. It's got an exciting story, likable and relatable characters who are really fun to watch, and a dazzling visual energy that rockets you through the superhero tale that exalts family above everything else. I give it 5 out of 5 life-saving energy balls. It's The Incredibles this week on Rocket Pop Reviews.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every 4 computers now have primary control of critical vehicle function.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in orbit.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
Jeff, we're talking about The Incredibles from 2004. It was directed by Brad Bird. It stars Craig Nelson, the voice talent, of Craig Nelson, Holly Hunter, and Samuel L. Jackson.
And it's actually Craig T. Nelson. So, I'm sorry.
Good point. So the story is, while trying to lead a quiet suburban life, a family of undercover superheroes are forced into action to save the world. So let's talk about the craft of this movie first. I would just say, for me, the first thing that comes to mind with this movie is the story. The way they have written this story, scene by scene, is like a master's level class in storytelling and screenwriting. It is so fun the way that they put layer upon layer. The setup, if you're interested and haven't seen the movie, is that this is superheroes with normal lives. I love the way that they make it mundane, that they are superheroes, that's not that exciting to them. So they're very interested in, like, their chest logo. Can we do any better than this? Can we see some other versions? They have to have their super suits made and they have to wash them. They have spouses that tolerate their need to go solve crimes, because it's like going to the bowling league. Like, you have to do that tonight. The bored husband is listening to the police scanner to see if maybe he can find some new crimes that he can go work on, et cetera. The opening of the movie is so fun. I didn't remember it until I just saw it again for this review. It's like documentary style interviews. The wife tells him, as they're getting married, that, you know, it's going to be more than him doing his thing. If they get married and they start a family, you're not just going to be able to do your thing the whole time, which is a real setup into the whole world of the movie, which is about family. And it's really about the dad of the family coming to grips with, it's not just my thing. I have to involve my family into my business life, if I can put it that way. And then, like any action movie, it goes from this documentary thing, jumps midway into a full speed caper with the criminal on the loose, et cetera. So that's the first thing that I think of, is just how cleverly and interestingly they attacked the story. And they did a known genre of, we're going to do a superhero thing, and did it so different and so fresh. What comes to your mind regarding the storytelling?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, okay, so what's a bad version of The Incredibles, or a yawner version of The Incredibles? Well, it's just a family and they're fighting crime. Okay, let's see them do that together. Well, they set it up with, they want to do that, but because of some things that have happened, it's now, we can't have superheroes in the world. And so he's got to go, well, I'll go take a job in an insurance company.
Right.
And just from a visual standpoint, this very large man, he squeezes into a very tiny car and then is sitting in front of a very small computer. It's hilarious. You know that Brad Bird, who wrote and directed this, he was thinking visually. He's thinking, what's a funny thing to see here? A few funny things to him, I'm sure, was, what if there's a superhero with a lavalier microphone on his suit while he's being interviewed? What if there's a giant superhero fitting into the car? There's just 100 of these that sets things up really well.
Yes.
And I think from a craft standpoint, there's a million things to marvel at, including I'd say the music and the opening credits, which are just whiz bang. I think that's probably the best phrase. Whiz bang. You're right away, you got this jazzy soundtrack. By the way, one of the things this movie does from an interesting craft standpoint is it could have been set today or whenever the movie was made, 2004. But it's this really odd, you can't place it in time. It's sort of early 1960s, maybe.
Right.
A lot of the
look of the house and the furniture is mid-century, right?
Right. Yes. And yet there's other things that would make you go, well, maybe it's a little more modern, but you can't place it in time, which makes it fun. It makes it feel like there's so many James Bond elements, especially with the bad guy and his lair and what's going on there. So that takes you back to that 1960s era.
As you and I have talked about before, it's set in a time, we've talked about this with Star Wars, it's set in a time when the future feels so crazy and exciting. Yeah. And, you know, with imagining people with space helmets and we're imagining the Jetsons where everybody kind of floats around town or whatever. So putting it in that kind of 60s space not only sets up the music score that you mentioned is so fun and so exciting, but it also kind of makes technology seem more far out somehow. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, it's definitely a Jetsons kind of thing where they're floating in the little UFO type things. And
yes.
Oh man, it's so great.
The second thing that I was going to say, and you've touched on it with the sound, is that the look of this movie, the whole ethic, this, as you say, this 60s jazzy thing is so dialed in. I'm tempted to say on point, but it's just great. I mean, the first chase scene doesn't have a rock opera score, which is what it would have if it was a Marvel movie. It's big band. And like you say, it feels like old James Bond stuff. And I remember seeing this the first time in the movie theater when the closing credits came on and people started standing up. I was like, get out, everybody get out of my way. You move. Because the closing credits are absolutely riveting. Because it is this Disney style. If you've been to the Cosmopolitan hotel that's in Disney World,
the Contemporary,
sorry, there were these things that they did in the 60s that are like so iconic looking now. The way that they did like the tiki dancers, etc. There is a look and a style that has like a Disney stamp on it. This is a Pixar movie, is that right?
Yes.
But the visual heritage of this is so, I mean, again, watching those closing credits, it is so directly lifted. I think of I wonder if we can find a still of this. There was an old Disney, like educational film that I remember watching in elementary school in class. And it was like The Roots of Music.
Yes.
Here's rhythm. Here is melody. And the look of this thing, it harkens directly back to that look. And I just enjoyed it so much as a Gen Xer getting a new version of an old style that I loved.
I'll get real nerdy here. A lot of that style is from a woman who was a Disney animator named Mary Blair. And Mary Blair's fingerprints are all over the Contemporary hotel. And there's I want to say like a 60-foot tall mosaic that she designed.
Yes, that is exactly what's in my mind.
That's Mary Blair. I've got a book of her stuff that's
just beautiful. Did she also do It's a Small World?
Yes, she had a lot to do with It's a Small World. So you've got this, she had just a really, she was wonderful woman. Walt Disney loved her and loved what she brought to projects. But a lot of that is that Mary Blair feel. And you see that, I think you see it throughout the movie, but then in the ending credits, they really go, well, let's move away from the three-dimensional computer animated thing to let's go to that old 60s vibe of the old Disney, which is just so fun. It's like Brad Bird got to, you know, open up the archives and go, what do we like here? What do we like here? Let's bring that in. And I think, as you know, we'll talk about watching it with your family. But one of the things I love to do with my girls is go, look, you know, we can talk about messages and all that, but like, look what they did there. Like, look how cool that is. I want them to appreciate. I want my girls to grow up really creative. I just love showing them creative things and going, look what they did. Like, let's marvel at what amazing thing they just did. And I think The Incredibles is a good example of, I guess you'd call it pastiche, where you're taking a number of things from the past and making something new. Yeah. And I always like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, let's do talk about the messaging. The messaging of The Incredibles is important because as I am communicating, I personally really enjoyed it. The last time I watched it on an airplane, delighted, just sitting there alone. I don't need to be trying to entertain kids to enjoy this movie. But when you bring family into the picture, there are so many things about The Incredibles and the messaging that is a relief, honestly, in modern times where you're looking for an exciting, funny, family, heart-filled movie. Man, this thing is right down the middle of what you want, I think, to show to your family, because there are simple kind of unsaid values in the kind of movies that we love, where guess what? The good guys are good and the bad guys are bad. And the good guys win, and it's right for the bad guys to get some comeuppance, you know, very simple morality that's just on display all the time. But the number one value that is put over and over in this movie is that family is first. So our star, the dad, his name is Robert Parr. One thing that you see from the very beginning of this movie is that he is into and attracted to his wife. And that's what a shocker to watch a movie these days where the star is a dad who's crazy about his wife. Yeah. And I just kept thinking, this is refreshing. Of course, I might not have seen it in 20 years, but holy cow, how often are we seeing that? So more family things. There is one kid who is way into the family identity, and there's one kid that wishes they were not in this family. And so we watch those two walk through this story together. And of course, by the end, they're both really enthusiastic about being in the family. So I love that they kind of are realists, if you'll let me say that, about just seeing, well, what if there's a kid that doesn't want to be a part of this family? The big climax at the end is impossible unless the whole family works together. Everybody has to do their thing. And of course, they work it out where this power works perfectly for this thing, and this power is going to solve that problem, et cetera. One of the kids, his name is Dash, which is a great
name. He's the best.
And Dash says, I can see him in my mind repeatedly going, I love this family, because he thinks it's a ball to be in this family. He just loves all of the fun of this family, which is one of my goals as a dad. I have told my wife and my friends, I want my kids to say, this is the best family. Honestly, we have the best family. Hmm. And you can do that by buying them stuff all of the time, which doesn't really work. Or you can just be the kind of, as you're saying, creative, fun-loving, life is an adventure kind of family. I think of a movie like Life is Beautiful, where that kid was convinced that life was beautiful, that life was an adventure, that his father loves him, even in the worst of times. And I think that we can be those kind of parents. And I love that they would stick a kid in the movie who would say, no irony, no sarcasm, I love this family.
Isn't that weird?
After bragging about how they what they just did, what adventure they had just been on. One last thing before you jump in on this messaging. At the very end, there's a bomb. There's a bomb that goes off. There's smoke that clears. And what you see, and it grabbed my fatherly heartstrings, what you see when the smoke clears is the family huddled together and dad covering everybody. And I was just like, I'm so in on this movie. I want to stand up in the airplane and go, this is what we're all going for. See this dad huddle around this family. It's great on that point. The messaging is terrific.
Let's play a little game then. What's the bad version of The Incredibles when it comes to modern messaging? If this were to play out in a new movie and we'd be like, boy, the look was cool, but ugh. What would that be like?
What most movies will do is say that, you know, the power is in you and you need to be whoever you are and to be fully realized is to go out on your own and to not need your family anymore. That is in so many movies. And to really communicate that for these kids to be all that they are meant to be, I'm thinking specifically the girl that at the beginning doesn't want to be part of the family, for her to be all that she is to be, she must fully integrate into the family. And that's when she shines. Mm-hmm. That's what she was made for. So I'd say that the kind of independence, self-realization garbage that's in most of modern cinema, this flies in the face of that.
And maybe in that bad version, the kids rescue dad.
Yeah, that's right too.
He's so blustery.
Bumbling dad,
and the kids rescue him. Isn't it interesting in this movie that because of the relationship this girl has, Violet, and she's just she's real. That's a middle school kid who's mopey and everything's terrible. She's just perfect. I mean, it's a little caricature, but it's a great caricature.
Yeah.
There's a lot of caricatures here. Because of how she allows herself to be folded into the family and find, is it too much to say, find purpose, that has an impact on how she addresses a relationship issue she has outside of the family. Not only that, she's so mopey and she's wearing these clothes like this. At the end, they kind of pretty her up.
Like, that's true.
She's released a little from feeling like, I've got to be the emo kid who everyone hates. And I'm fulfilling this thing about myself. She's like, she's still
Her hair back at the end.
Yeah, I think she has like a beret in her hair or something. Yes. And she's trying to talk to this guy. And she got what she needed via the family.
That's right.
So that she could exist beyond the family. And yet it's still a family thing.
They would not make that movie today.
You're right. My word. You know what? This movie always makes me think if you walk through the airport and you see these billboards up. I don't know if you've seen these, but it's always like it's some inspiring message with a picture. It might be Lincoln or something.
Yeah.
And then it'll say like love, pass it on, or hope, pass it on.
Yes.
They were up for a number of years. It was a picture of the Incredibles. And it said, family, pass it on. What?
That's incredible. Amazing. Okay, let's move on to family fit. So the question is, you're looking to watch a movie this weekend. You want to know which kids you could involve. Maybe you're asking yourself, can my wife watch this with me? Or you're going to ask, what age of kids is this appropriate for us to watch as a family? I would say this movie is appropriate for all but the very youngest children, maybe 6+. And I only say that because I am always sensitive to desensitizing children to violence and action, the way that Bugs Bunny did to me with anvils falling on people's heads. If you don't have that sensitivity, like explosions and people, you'll see a laser beam, boop, 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 and it'll ricochet and it'll go into a bad guy that we don't even know and he'll fall over as if dead. If that doesn't bother you, then there's no restrictions on this movie because morally speaking, there's nothing to be concerned about. The only thing I was trying to think, is there anything that is problematic in this movie? Okay, maybe there's a fact that there's a baby who kind of turns into a fiery gargoyle /demon devil kind of a thing. That's his superpower because he turns into this raging maniac, and that's how they represented that. If you don't like that gargoyle devil kind of thing, okay, I understand that. It's kind of like in Inside Out. How are they going to represent anger? You know, that's basically what the kid looks like. He looks like anger from Inside Out.
Right.
Otherwise, I say step up to this visual buffet, eat your heart out, and do the thing that Jeff and I love to do, which is debrief this with your family about what does Dash love so much about his family? What changed Violet's heart? What did Dad, Robert Parr, Mr. Incredible, what did he learn about the importance of his family, et cetera, et cetera? The craft is excellent. The messaging is excellent. And the family fit is nearly universal. What else would you say?
I'll throw in a couple little things. I think there's even deeper messaging here. Oh, by the way, this is the kind of movie that sort of is in the air. Like, oh yeah, my kids were watching The Incredibles on the flight. Okay, fine. But why not sit down with your family and go, let's watch this movie that everybody kind of watches this movie. It's one of these movies everybody watches.
Everybody's seen.
Yeah, everybody's seen. Watch it with your kids and talk with them about it. Like, make them go, wait, mom and dad are sitting there watching this movie. I thought this was just what, no, we're going to watch it with you and talk through it. I think for a lot of the movies we'll talk about, some of them are just known quantities. Like, yeah, my kid watched it. Well, watch it with them and talk with them and help them to understand it a little better. So that's one thing. The next thing is, I think there was something really interesting. I'm going to over-spiritualize this movie, so forgive me. But
I'll allow it.
Dad, he has this thing in him that says, I can't live an ordinary life. I can't do it. There's got to be a higher calling for me. There's too much placed within me to just type little things and be nice to an old lady who's in front of me. He's like, I have something bigger and it's got to come out. And it's so funny to watch him and Frozone like, we're going to hang out and they're going to save the world because they can't not. They can't not. So take that and then add that to this, again, over-spiritualized, but your family, our families should be so on mission about the kingdom that it's fun to bring the kingdom into your home, into your family world, so that when other people come in, they go, whoa, but that can be fun. Sabbath, that can be fun. Right. And how we minister to people who come in, that can be fun, where it might be heavy or whatever, and that person, you know, who you're ministering to and helping leaves, but the family turns around and go, and it's in like you in faintly hear the incredible soundtrack fire up right at the end. Like, man, we did something good as a crew there together. I don't know. Yeah. I'd take a little bit of that away.
The Incredibles is a rare treat. It's got an exciting story, likable and relatable characters who are really fun to watch, and a dazzling visual energy that rockets you through this superhero tale that exalts family above everything else. I give it 5 out of 5 life-saving energy balls. Jeff, I'd like to stick a coda on the end of this episode of Rocket Pop. I'd like to get serious if I can for a moment. I'd like to talk about the bad guys in this movie that I truly loved. Can I do that?
Please.
Number one, I laughed out loud when they just threw this to the side and really never returned to it. They just mentioned, as a matter of course, a bad guy named Bon Voyage, who is cartoonishly French. He's dressed up like a mime. He looks like a mime, except that he has the black and white striped shirt, and he walks like a dancer, and his name is Bomb Voyage, and all he does is throw bombs everywhere.
It's so great. It's a great joke, because it's so dumb, and it's you love it.
The next thing is the Underminer, who looks like a mole. He's got big buck teeth, and he's voiced by Pixar favorite John Ratzenberger, who we know as Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
He's in every Pixar movie. Every Pixar movie.
Yes, and sometimes you wonder, well, I guess they didn't fit him in. And here he is, like in the last scene as the Underminer, and his whole deal. I don't know how this is like going to destroy the world, but his whole deal is dig. We dig. That's what he's going to do. He's going to drill down, and that's going to threaten humanity somehow. Anyways, bad guys I love from The Incredibles.
I'll throw in as a bonus. I used to work at a church out in California.
And there was a bad guy, a cartoonish bad guy there?
He was the preacher.
Yes.
Who attended that church on a regular basis was Craig T. Nelson. Robert Parr himself. Sweet guy. Okay. Very, very nice guy. Didn't you like Mr. Incredible's blue outfit a lot more than his red one?
The old one.
Yeah. It looks so vintage.
Yes, that's true. It did. That specific color of light blue was something out of the 70s, and I don't know why.
I think you and I both saw the trailer for this, and just the vibe of it, we went, they're speaking our language. That's our language. That's what we love, is this like retro thing that's not fully in the past. Oh man, I just remember seeing that going, I'm take my money, here we go, I'll go see it now.
two big thumbs up from Rocket Pop Reviews, The Incredibles.
Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.